Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jeff Fallon. He is the chairman and CEO of eVideon. Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Dr. Nick. Great to be with you today. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and reach out to your listeners.
So, as I do with all my guests, I think it's always important to get a little bit of background to individuals and how they arrived at this point. You've got an interesting background. Tell us a little bit about how you arrived as the CEO of eVideon and your journey to this point, if you would.
Yeah, happy to. So it's 33 years into a career in healthcare, largely up until 2011 was medical device and pharmaceutical side of healthcare delivery, leading commercial stuff in the hospital space. And back in 2010, I was working with the Cleveland Clinic as a kind of the corporate leader for a large global medical device diagnostic pharma company. And we were doing some really innovative stuff, trying to sort of skate where the hockey puck was going, so to speak, for our hospital clients who were facing an increasingly value-based reimbursement future versus the volume-based financial history that we'd all really build our businesses on. And it was through that interaction with the Cleveland Clinic where I really began to get intimate with the idea of pay for performance, quality implications for hospital providers, and patient satisfaction scores particularly, and the idea of patients being engaged in their own care as a lever on improving the quality, the satisfaction, and the efficiency of the care delivery as well. So I really pivoted my career at that point in 2011 and jumped in with both feet into this idea of technology as a fulcrum and that whole idea of making patients an active participant in their care rather than somebody that just receives the care sort of passively. And I'm excited to be on that journey really for the last, coming on 12 years now. And I think the future is very bright for this company, but more importantly for the idea overall.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I mean, if you're not familiar, you probably are, but Leonard Kish's famous quote in this space is, you know, patient engagement is the blockbuster drug of the century in terms of its effectiveness. And I imagine coming from the pharmaceutical industry, you're looking at this going, wow, we need to deliver more of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And actually it was the Cleveland Clinic that introduced me to a book called Redefining Healthcare by Michael Porter, who's a Harvard Business School professor. And his chapter 7 was titled Implications for Suppliers. It was that idea that, you know, how would a medical device pharmaceutical company deliver more value to their customers, in my case, it was hospitals, who were facing an increasingly value-based financial future. When the reality is that a med device or drug company, their business is dropping off devices or pills at the loading dock and then leaving their brain essentially at that loading dock and not bringing it to the bedside to improve the episode of care for all the reasons that, you know, we all understand very well, reducing readmissions, improving satisfaction, improving efficiency of the experience. So it was really that idea of how does a drug or device company help their clients navigate what's ahead that got me into this business of technology. It was really a light bulb. And Leonard Kish's quote that you rightly point out, Nick, was seminal for me, along with Michael Porter's work, that it just made me think I wanted to be part of making this idea the standard of care. I didn't want to get to the end of my career and say, you know, I saw that happening and I sat on the sidelines and wish I would have done something about it. So it's been an exciting ride and I'm excited about what's ahead still.
You know, it's interesting as you think about that and the way in which I want to say almost ignored the patient element of this. I mean, it was a very paternalistic system that here you are, here is your care, be grateful for it. And we have moved away, but it has what I would consider a fairly checkered past. And I'll, you know, claim some ownership of that, certainly in terms of not intentionally the way that I delivered care, but, you know, certainly my experiences in delivering that care. When you saw that, you obviously, it you know, triggered something in you that you go, that's great. But what was your next step? How did you then progress that into your career and the next steps that you've gotten into?
Yeah, well, to be specific, what we were doing with the Cleveland Clinic was thinking about how would I and my team bring our insights about the care experience, not just the dosage and side effects of the devices and pharmaceuticals, but the needs and fears and expectations, the actual journey that the patient is on, because we have deep insights about the disease states that our products treated. But we really, apart from building some online patient, teaching tools or engagement tools, we really weren't much of a participant in that care experience. And so around that, you know, thinking about patient engagement, we realized that we needed to have a platform inside the hospital through which we could deliver those insights, not actually to be a provider of care like a medical doctor or a nurse would, of course, but to bring those insights and to do it from a kind of a HIPAA compliant distance, you really needed a platform inside the hospital. And the reality was hospital technology that faces the patient, not receives information or data from the patient's, you know, veins and organs, but actually interacts with the patient, was simply non-existent. So we kind of dreamed up that you needed this inpatient platform. And because of that work and the visibility it was getting at this company, the venture capital guys over there who had invested in the company who had technology like this brought me into that team, and we made an investment in this company. And frankly, when the company decided not to acquire them, I thought it would be a much better use of the future of my career to join that mission and attempt to really bring that technology to the fore and, again, make it a standard of care at the bedside. Just like you wouldn't go to a hospital that doesn't have infusion pumps at the bedside, right, or a nurse call button even. Talk about antiquated technology. And I think it's only a matter of time until you wouldn't similarly want to go to a hospital that didn't have technology like this that helps people understand what's happening for them. It just demystifies what's all around. So that's the specific instance. Like, we were actually dreaming up this idea. I won't say we invented it. Frankly, there were lots of people working on the idea before we even had the idea. But it was that specific project that got me excited, and just numerous things like Michael Porter's book and like the things that I was hearing from leaders like Jim Merlino, the chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic, that made me convinced that this would be probably one of the highest uses of the rest of my career. And again, I jumped in with both feet at that time in 2011.
So that's really cool. Fast forward a little bit, and as you explored the technology, you explored this concept, what were the steps to creating this? Because at the time that you did this, I mean, sure, there were players in that space, but I don't think there was much going on. I mean, I think there was intent, but not so much actual delivery, right?
No doubt. I mean, if you think about what's happened with smartphones just in the last 12 years, just to use the time frame that I'm talking about, right? I mean, I'm no expert on the iPhone, but that changed the world, and it changed how we interact with not just technology, but information, how we digest it, what forms do we digest it in, and what do we do with it? The velocity of the information and the relevance, the sort of contextual, specific to our individual, even location or heart rate, for crying out loud, it just changed dramatically. So certainly, yes, the idea of using technology to educate people about what's happening for them in a hospital at the bedside began even with the telephone. I mean, there were people putting cassette tapes on telephone lines, and they were listening to education. You know, that's one automated way to educate patients. And certainly, as technology has advanced, things like these smartphones and tablets that we all carry around, and smart TVs, which are now ubiquitous, right? I mean, if you go to buy a TV for your house today, would you not buy a smart TV? I can't imagine why you wouldn't. And likewise, hospitals are doing this now too. And just as there's a new world of things we can do with the devices we carry around, there's a new world of things that hospitals can do with these smart devices that they put in the room. And that's opened up just a world of possibilities for what a company like ours at Avidian can do with hospitals to help just demystify what's happening for that patient in the bed, who's probably feeling at least vulnerable and maybe in fear for their life, but also the technology possibilities have changed for the nurses and doctors who care for those people, their ability to influence and educate and prepare them for life after the hospital, but to do it in an efficient way, not one that takes more of their time, but gives them time back.
So help the listeners out a little bit. Share a little bit of the detail of what eVideon is and what it does, if you would.
Yeah. So if you've ever been a patient in a hospital room or visited one, even if you've only seen a picture of a hospital room on TV, you know, the people are surrounded by technology. As I said earlier, infusion pumps, very sophisticated monitors, EKGs, there's devices tapping into the patient, gathering information and putting things into our bodies. But the only TV, or I should say the only device, the only technology in there that's really interface to that patient that's pushing information or gathering information to them, there's really two of them. One is the TV on the wall. We call it a foot wall, kind of at the foot of the bed. And then there's a button that's 1979 technology called a nurse call button, right? So in 2021, those are the two-way mechanisms for pushing and receiving information actually from the patient's eyes and mouth, so to speak. It's just unthinkable in this world where we're carrying supercomputers in our pockets, and that's what we're relegating people who are in fear of their lives and at least very vulnerable in a bed, medically vulnerable, probably, you know, wearing an embarrassing open back medical gown. You know, you'd just like to think that we give them a bit more information about what's happening for them. So the short story on what we do is we make that TV on the foot wall a smart TV. We connect that television to the electronic medical record of the hospital and many other information systems that the hospital relies on. We use tablets at the bedside that are also connected to the EMR and these IT systems so that an interface is presented to the patient that welcomes them to the hospital in whatever demographic interface is appropriate for them. So if it's a kid, it's a pediatric interface. It's in their first language. Whatever language they speak, according to the electronic medical record, it'll welcome them in that language. It'll present entertainment content that's demographically appropriate, relaxation content, things to distract them from whatever has them in the hospital. But the most important personalization comes from that electronic medical record that while the patient is distracting themselves through TV or relaxation or whatever, we're going to prompt them to say, for example, Nick, you've just been prescribed a new medication. Click this button and watch a short video about hydrochlorothiazide. And you can snooze it, but we can be relatively persistent about coming back to you. And then we're going to use asynchronous automated delivery of short videos specific to you, the diagnosis, the procedures, whatever's got you in that hospital. We're going to push these videos to you, and we're going to automatically deliver it. We're going to automatically document your completion and even your comprehension. So taking the education load off of the nurse by automating it this way. We're doing other things in the room like that whiteboard that's a dry erase board where the nurse writes their name, your medications, your pain score, some things like that. They're woefully incompleted generally. They're certainly manual, and in a pandemic, these handwritten devices are not necessarily a fantastic idea. So we digitize that. We can put a very simple display on the wall connected to the electronic medical record and real-time location systems, dietary systems, et cetera, to just present a very rich picture of whatever's happening for that patient and take that off the nurse's to-do list so that that nurse doesn't have to write that stuff out. The patient can actually put questions using their smartphone up on that digital whiteboard. The nurse can see those questions from the nursing station before they even come into the room. Digital door sign outside the room so that HIPAA compliant informatics or graphics are presented to all who walk up to the room so that at a glance, they know, just like an air traffic controller would, when they take a look at a graphic-rich interface, they're going to know at a glance what's happening in that room and enter appropriately, whatever that situation may be. So there's a kind of a short story on the handful of the things that we're doing in and around that patient room. Really, the idea is present to the patient and the staff who cares for that patient the right information at the right time on the right interface so that everybody just understands better and more efficiently what's happening.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jeff Fallon. He is the chairman and CEO of eVideon. We were just talking about eVideon's solution and the end of the bed monitor, which, you know, is historical. And as I think about that as not even as a patient, just as a regular person, the first thing I do pretty much in almost any room I enter, certainly hotel rooms and whatever, is you turn that TV on. It's built into our culture. I know it wasn't historically, but it's really sort of become part of that. And that becomes this sort of primary interface. But I imagine that this is just one aspect of it. I mean, this just because it's there, that's just, you know, you use that, but it could be anything ultimately. I mean, you've got the capacity to sort of interact with patients in their preferred form. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to your point, Nick, when you walk into a hotel room, imagine if you saw a big, you know, tube TV sitting on the dresser there, what you might think about the other experiences that you could anticipate at that particular hotel. It doesn't send a very comforting message about the quality of the experience you're going to have. I believe that hospitals that are not modernizing the patient-facing technology, and I don't mean just in the entertainment way, which is obvious, but also important, but more importantly, in terms of the demystification of what's happening for that patient in the room, I believe that those hospitals that are not modernizing that are going to be left in a disadvantaged position in terms of who's attracted to that hospital, because just as you probably wouldn't be going back to that same hotel if you didn't have to, because you'd have some questions about where else are they cutting corners. You know, a hospital wants to attract patients that want to be engaged in their own care. I believe that, well, the data absolutely says that engaged patients have lower costs and better outcomes. Therefore, you want to attract patients who are engaged in their own care, or at least want to be engaged in their own care. If you don't invest in these sorts of things, and you are left with the people who really don't give a doggone about whether they've got a big tube TV on their desk, whether they're, you know, the hospital or the hotel is cutting corners or not in their stay, you're left with, I think, a proxy of patients, or I should say a cohort of patients, that really don't care about being engaged in their own care. And that's not a cohort that I think is going to predict greater outcomes and you know, satisfaction and efficiency of care. So I think it becomes a competitive differentiator. It's also certainly, again, if you believe that engaged patients have better outcomes and lower costs, you better do a pretty good job at it. But you're also leaving yourself with a subset of patients who, you know, don't care to be engaged in their own care if you don't invest in enabling that. So it's a competitive differentiator. I also think that there's no doubt if you're a nurse or a physician who comes to rely on this kind of technology to enable you to better reach patients and achieve greater outcomes more efficiently in your practice, then you will likewise prefer to work at hospitals that have this kind of technology to enable you to reach those greater outcomes and more efficient care.
So it occurs to me as I listen to this that there's an opportunity instead of just the passive delivery of information where, you know, you're a bit like the Netflix of the worlds where, hey, I see that you've got this condition, I'm going to give you some education, that it's actually something that can be delivered by the clinical team as almost a prescribable activity. Is that the case?
Yeah, in fact, it is the case. And I think that's the idea that Leonard Kish really had on his mind when you cited him earlier today when he said patient engagement is the blockbuster drug of the next century, I think. the idea that prescribing education that actually engages, or engaging patients specifically for whatever has them in the hospital, is the most important lever on the outcome and the cost of the care. And via the Vidion platform, the doctors and nurses actually literally prescribe education, video education. Now, historically, education in the hospital was something that happened as you're trying to get out the door for discharge, right? The nurse comes into the room with a pile of papers, some of which you're to sign, some of which you're to take to your doctor, some of which are education. There'll be, 10 forms. Read this, read that one, call your doctor, make an appointment, see them in 2 weeks, call us if you're bleeding, go to the emergency room. Like, that's the education process. So this is about being more intentional, asynchronous, and using video to do it so that you're actually informing people in a way that they can hear. Because if you're waiting until discharge to educate the patient, you've totally missed the medical moment of epiphany. You're talking to somebody that is just trying to get out the door and is wondering if their ride is there yet. They're concerned about, are they going to be in pain when they get home? They're simply just not very receptive to the education at that moment. So it's exactly that, Nick. It's about using technology and adult learning principles and video to do a better job of educating patients. And it is exactly like prescribing education.
Fantastic. I think, you know, the importance of that point, you know, that the I want to get out of the hospital. And I actually, only just recently, I got rid of an old book that was actually tear out patient instructions that you would hand out, which, you know, as I think about it in today's day and age, is just so Stone Age. You know, we have to do better than that. Closing couple of minutes, what would you say, what are you excited about in the next, several months, years, about the technology and what the potential is?
I'll tell you, we're excited to be involved with some really highly innovative, forward-thinking hospital and health systems across the United States that are dreaming big right now about what's possible for them. They're starting with baby steps, of course, because there is a boatload of transformation around this whole idea. But we've got numerous clients that are establishing hospital rooms of the future. And I'd say that those are exciting for us. Frankly, the things that we're doing in these hospital rooms of the future, there are things that we're doing in hospital rooms of today, even today, but knitting them all together and then designing the workflows around this technology to transform what it is to be a patient in that room and to be a nurse or a doctor who cares for patients in that room, it is tremendously transformative what they're dreaming of doing. And we're excited about being a part of it. Some of the most prestigious names in healthcare, and I'll kind of hold those for press releases and whatnot. But we're just excited about what's ahead with the hospital clients that we have and some that we're about to announce as well.
Fantastic. Well, as usual, we've unfortunately run out of time. Exciting times, I think, utilizing existing technology, for me, incremental steps, you know, it may be an old style TV, but if we can actually deliver information and do a better job, but then capitalize, feels a little bit like the airlines where, you know, they put backseat videos in, but they're taking them out now because we all bring our own devices. And I think, you know, enabling that whole capability in the healthcare setting, very exciting. Jeff, it's been a delight. Thanks very much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.